بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وآله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم زدنا علما. May Allah increase us in knowledge. May Allah give us the fiqh of His religion. May He guide us to that which He loves and that which He is pleased with. Alhamdulillah, I greet all of you brothers and sisters with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope that all of us are benefiting from the Ramadan, inshaAllah, these blessed days, that Allah calls them ayyamam ma'dudat. Ayyamam ma'dudat. A number of days. A short number of days, right? Either 29 days or 30 days. Once the days are over, there's no bringing them back. So these numbered days are days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed for His worship. So inshallah, in this short time, there was a few questions we'll go over, and if we have time, we'll talk about the fiqh of the fasting of the traveling person and of the sick person, inshallah. First question that a brother asked about is, what is the ruling on the kosher? Sometimes you have the kosher, you know, the symbol, the K, or you have the kosher meat. No. So the kosher meat, what the scholars they say in terms of the Islamic law, in terms of the fiqh of the slaughter, that generally speaking the kosher rules, they match the halal rules, other than alcohol. The Yehud, the Jewish people, they drink alcohol. They consider it kosher, halal. Some of the kosher rules are more stringent than the Islamic rules. Like for example, they say that when you slaughter the animal, if the knife has a dull edge, then the animal is not kosher. This is what they say in the kosher law. The animal becomes non-kosher. Whereas in Islam, we have the sharp knife, but it doesn't affect whether it's halal or not, as long as it's slaughtered properly. So the kosher rules are generally more strict than the Islamic rules, other than the alcohol. Alcohol, the Jewish people, they might have put alcohol in their food and they consider it kosher. But then we have the question about what is the ruling on Muslims consuming the kosher products. And some of the fuqaha and some of the ulama, they said that you have to look at the support, you know, the support of the community. So if Muslims, they buy the kosher, then who are they supporting? Right? If you buy kosher, who are the people that are going to benefit from that purchase? So some of the fuqaha, they have said that Muslims, they should strive to only to make their own halal, to make sure that things are halal. Now, so that's the ruling on the kosher. And then the brother, he asked about the gelatin. The gelatin. Gelatin is made from what? Gelatin can be made from fish, or it could be made from bones of pigs, or it could be made from other sources. But generally speaking, the main source of gelatin is from the pig. And the vast majority of ulama who looked at the gelatin, they said that it's still considered a pig byproduct. When they looked at the final product of gelatin, they said it's still similar to the pig byproduct. And according to Islamic law, if a substance changes into a new substance, it becomes halal, right? Like if you have wine, and by a natural process that wine becomes vinegar. It becomes vinegar. Is wine halal? Wine? Haram. Is it pure or impure? Impure, right? According to the form of that. When the wine becomes vinegar, and through a natural process, it just over time it becomes vinegar. Is vinegar halal or haram? Halal. Is it pure or impure?
Pure.
So it's the same liquid, right? It's the same, the wine, nothing changed. It changed in its chemical composition, but it's the same liquid. It came from grapes. Right? Grape juice, it works both ways. Grape juice is pure, And then when it ferments and it becomes alcoholic, it becomes impure. And likewise, when the alcohol, it becomes vinegar, by a natural process, all the ulama agree, becomes pure. So some of the ulama, they sometimes when they look at the ingredients, they try to see if the product, the byproduct, has changed completely from its original state. This is called istihala. Istihala means when, like, wine changes to vinegar, they call that istihala. So the ulama, they look at the ingredients, they say, is it still the original or is it something new? Because the ruling is not based on the origin, the ruling is based on the current state. And they mention in the books of fiqh that if a pig fell into a salt mine, over the passing of years and centuries, the pig will actually become salt. And they say that salt is actually pure. It actually changes into something else that is pure. So when it comes to the gelatin, it's not the question of the origin, but the question is it currently still pig, or has it become something new? Right? You see that, the concept? So the majority of ulama, they said that gelatin, it still resembles the pig. When you look at it, it hasn't changed into a new substance. There's a minority of ulama that said that it's changed. Some of the ulama, they had a council on medicine and nutrition, and they debated the issue. Some of them, they said gelatin is a new substance. But the stronger view is that it's still similar to pork. It's still a pork product. So it's good to avoid it. One should avoid that, inshallah. Okay, that was, a question. Any other questions on the... Anybody have any questions?
What about vanilla?
Vanilla extract. It's mentioned in some texts that they use some sort of alcohol to when they make the extraction. And if you look at what I've read from some of the fuqaha, they look at how much alcohol remains. If there's above a very tiny amount, more than, like what I heard from some of them, 0.05%, more than that, then they say not to use it. But if it's such a minute amount, less than 0.05%, they overlook it. But I'm not too familiar exactly with vanilla extract, so I can't tell you the exact ruling on that. Jazakallah. Any other questions anybody has? How about the kids here? Yes, brother, hate them, mashallah. Yes.
So, the gelatin, is it halal or haram?
Okay. The gelatin, is it halal or haram? So here you have to look at what the ulama, they say on it. So they say if the gelatin is of a origin that is pure, like fish, for example, or a halal animal like a cow that was slaughtered according to Islamic law, then the gelatin would be halal, right? But if it came from an origin of something that was impure, such as pork, then the majority of scholars say that the gelatin is still similar to pork. It's still pork. It didn't change enough to a new substance. But there's a minority of ulama that said that it's changed to something new. So there's two views, but the stronger view is to avoid it. Good question, Brother Haytham. Anybody else have a question? Sisters too, if you have questions, you can pass them up. Okay, no... Anybody else? No other questions? Okay, one of the issues that comes up is the issue of breaking the fast due to illness. If somebody is sick, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. If one of you is sick or on a journey, then make it up from other days. So here in this ayah, whoever of you is sick, here the ulama, they say, what does sickness mean? in this ayah? Does it mean a slight headache? Whoever has a slight headache because they've been fasting all day, they can break their fast because they say they're sick? What is meant by this ayah? Whoever is sick or on a journey, let them make it up from other days. The scholars, they say that sickness is divided into three categories. Three categories. One is sickness. Kids, if you can do your cell phone afterwards, huh? Inshallah, you do the cell phone afterwards. It's, no. Sickness is what has how many categories? Nusayf? How many categories? It's three categories, right? The first category is a light sickness or a light illness that it doesn't lead to a hardship on the person to fast. If somebody, they have a slight headache or a slight nick or cut on their finger, is this considered a major illness that they can break their fast with? No, no. If somebody has a minor illness, a small illness that will not lead to them being overburdened or make it get worse by fasting, then in this case, and it doesn't cause them mashaka or hardship, then in this case they are not allowed to break the fast. The first case is a minor illness. Minor illness that does not lead to a hardship or burden upon the person if he fasts, and it will not be made worse by fasting, then the first case, you're not allowed to break the fast. Is that clear? So minor sickness, a headache, the scholars say this does not permit breaking the fast. Okay? The second case. If the brothers, if you could keep it the conversations for after, inshallah, because there's a respect for the knowledge, not for me, but for the knowledge, inshallah. So what happens, the second case is if the illness will cause the person to be harmed if he fasts, or he will die or he will become injured badly by that, by fasting. It will delay his recovery. What happens in this case? Can he break his fast? Yes? If he's going to die or make the sickness worse or it will delay the recovery? In this case, he has to break his fast. The second case, he has to break his fast. Because Allah says, لَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not kill yourselves. If somebody, they're on the verge of death, you know, they have cancer. Somebody has cancer, and the doctor says you have to take this medicine, otherwise your cancer is going to kill you. So he says, no, I don't want to take it. I want to fast. And then when my fasting is over, I'll take the medicine. The doctor says, no, you have to take it, otherwise you're going to become very ill and you might die. So what does he have to do in this case? He has to break his fast. Right? Because Allah says, do not kill yourself. لَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Allah says, لَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى السَّهْلُكَ. Do not throw yourselves into destruction. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, لَا ضَرَرَ وَلَا ضِرَارَ. Let there be no harming or reciprocating harm. Okay? So this is the second case. The first case, a minor sickness that would not lead to making the illness worse if you fast, and it won't make you make it hard upon you, but it's just a minor illness or a cut or something like that. So what is the ruling in that case? Are you allowed to break your fast? You cannot break your fast. The second case, if it will lead to your death or harm to your body, then you have to break your fast. The third case is where it's the illness. If you break your fast, it will be easier for you. But if you don't break your fast, it will be difficult upon you. It will be difficult upon you, but it will not make the illness worse. somebody, they have a cold, and they say, if I fast today, it would be a little bit difficult for me. If I break my fast, it will be easier for me. But it's not going to be affected by the fasting. It won't make it worse. It won't make me get sick. But it will be a little bit of a hardship on me. So here, what is the ruling in this case? Here, the person, they say it's better to break the fast if it's going to lead to mashakka, hardship. It's not required, and it's not haram. But it's better to break the fast. Why? Because Allah says in the ayah, He says about fasting, Allah wants for you ease, and He does not want for you hardship. And if you look in the evidence of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, when people experienced the mashakka, the hardship, when they were fasting, when they were on a journey, he called for water and he broke his fast. And he told other people to break their fast. And the ones who didn't break their fast, he said, they are doing the sin. They are doing the sin. Okay, so there's three cases of fasting when someone is sick. One, if he's lightly sick, very, very light sickness, he's not allowed to break his fast. Number two, the middle case is if it will be hard on him to fast, but it won't make him die if he fasts. It won't make him sick, more sick, delay the recovery. This case is better for him to break the fast because that's easier and Allah wants ease for us. And the Prophet ﷺ was never given the choice between two things, but he chose the easier of the two. And then the third case is if he will it will lead to his death if he fasts, or it will make the illness worse and cause him to become more ill. Then in this case, he has to break his fast. Say for example, a person who has cancer, or a person who has a very bad case of diabetes. If he doesn't take his medicine, he might die. So then in this case, he has to break the fast, or she has to break the fast. Inshallah. Okay, inshallah. Any questions on fasting, breaking the fast of a sick person?
Would be better, like if you ask the doctor if you can't fast.
That's right. That's right. If somebody, they have a question about whether they can whether the illness if fasting will make it worse or not, the best thing is to refer to a doctor, refer to the physician, and let them give you an objective answer, inshallah.
I heard that people who claim that they can take medication while they're fasting, and they can carry on.
No, this is, some people, they have, can they take medicine and keep fasting? Like somebody, they need to take ibuprofen or they need to take some pills. Can they eat that medicine and keep fasting?
Oh no.
No. No, this is not correct. No. You have to, if you take the medicine, it breaks your fast and you have to make it up from days later. This is in the case of a person who has a temporary illness. Somebody who has a permanent illness, meaning there's no recovery, then for each day, they feed one poor person. They feed one poor person for each day, and that's sufficient. They don't have to make it up. Yes, please. The inhaler? No. The inhaler, if you look at some of the fiqh councils, they said that it doesn't reach the stomach. Some of them, they allowed it. No. They allowed the inhaler. No. I read that in some of the fatwas of the ulama. Allah knows best. Okay, any other questions? Alright, I have two questions for you. And I'll save the answer for after Taraweeh. So that way, if you want to hear the answer. What is the case of a person who is an adult of sound mind? He breaks his fast in Ramadan and he doesn't have to make it up. And he doesn't have to pay fidya either. An adult Muslim of sound mind, baligh, baligh, they break their fast in Ramadan, they don't have to make it up, and they don't have to pay a fidya. We'll see the answer after. The other question is, an adult Muslim, he or she breaks the fast in Ramadan, and they have to make up the fast, and they have to feed a poor person. Okay, these are two situations that Ulama mentioned. Inshallah, we'll answer it after the Salah, inshallah. صلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.